Curly's many bouts in the ring.
No. You were looking for a new theme song a few weeks
this
ago
would be
for
good.
The
this
show?
Would be good.
How about this one?
I just thought of that myself. Now, is this the one where he has to eat the cheese to calm down, or is this the one where they have to tickle his feet? Either concept is really weird.
Right. This is the one where his feet are tickled, I believe. But there's another thing. The antidote for seeing a mouse where he goes crazy.
Right.
You know,
that was the cheese.
Right. Mo Larry the cheese, and it could be either Roquefort or Limburger. But then there was also the incident where you were referring to Grip's grunts and groans that drove him out of his mind was the perfume called Wild Hyacinth.
Oh, yeah. They liked boxing on the Three Stooges.
Yeah. Well, they made for fun episodes.
But I think they were all, in real life, I think they were all big boxing fans.
They may well have been. Boxing and wrestling.
Hey, let's go down to Madison Square Garden, you mugs. Come on.
I like the scene where Curly was trying to pin the guy's shoulders down
with actual pins.
And he says, "But I haven't got any pins." And then Larry says, "Get him some."
Andy's.
I'm just going to sit out. I'm going to say this one
Andy.
Out.
Andy. Poor Andy.
I'm learning a lot.
Poor Andy. Poor young Ryan. Though I got to say, young Ryan at least seems to be amused by the whole
thing. Oh, I'm amused. I'm just not saying anything.
Yeah.
He's such a good-natured young man. Of course he's amused.
He's polite. He's very polite.
Yes.
Very polite.
Endures our trips down memory lane. Yeah. Speaking of which,
Ryan's they'll both be dead soon. Andy and I'll be running the show.
Speaking of which, trips down memory lane, yeah. I loved watching Bozogar and Ray and the new a show with interviews this year. That was wonderful. I was 8 years old again.
I'm so happy that everybody enjoyed it. I got as we always do for the last 15 years when we run Bozogar and Ray. A huge response. People, it's become part of their holiday tradition. So I'm glad that people enjoy it, and it brings back a lot of good memories. This year especially, maybe, right?
You had some more video this year than years past.
Not on Bozogar and Ray.
Not on Bozogar and Ray. By the way, you look wonderful.
I look the same, don't I?
You look the same.
I have not aged
you
one
look the same.
Day.
You look the same.
And you know how much Vaseline we had to put on the lens? We cleaned out Walgreens' Vaseline section.
What year was that?
It was 15 years ago.
Wow.
2005.
Do they still have the props?
They are now. When the show ended in 2001, we donated the props to the Museum of Broadcast Communication. So they're on display there. When we did the show, when we did the special, we brought them back to historic Studio One, and we did the show.
And the goose is on display.
They're all at the museum. They're all at the museum because you can't have it at WGN. Engineers would be eating sandwiches out of the puppets, and you know how those guys are. But anyway, thank you. I'm glad that everybody enjoyed that. You know what? I watched this weekend that I also enjoyed. The Rankin and Bass Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I haven't seen that in a long time, in years. A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It is good.
What, you hate Rankin and Bass?
No, I didn't say that. I just was saying I was just so elated to watch the...
What are you, a Jimmy Durante hater?
I'm not a Jimmy, no.
Fred Astaire hater?
I am not.
It was fun to watch.
Of course it was.
It's fun to watch. It's such, I don't want to say crude animation, because that makes it sound really bad, but compared to special effects that we have now, it's kind of quaint of, you know, the stop motion animation that they used on the Rankin and Bass shows, on Hard Rock Coco and Joe. That is so popular that's in our Bozogar and Ray special and Susie Snowflake and Frosty the Snowman. The
That's what made them fun to watch.
I guess so. I guess so. You know, we learned this week, I found, it was brought to my attention. I didn't do any digging and found, but it was brought to my attention some color outtakes from Hard Rock Coco and Joe and Susie Snowflake. And the animator, the name of the animator, the man who actually built the puppets and did the stop motion animation for Hard Rock and Susie Snowflake. And it's fascinating to see it. I'll have to find the exact website where everybody else can see it, and I'll mention it or post it or something. But it's really interesting to see. It's a man whose name I want to say was Hua Chung. He's a fairly famous puppet maker and animator, was in the Los Angeles area. He died in the early 2000s. But he created puppets and masks and things like that for shows like Star Trek and Elizabeth Taylor's Cleopatra. He did a lot of the headgear that they wore in that motion picture, and the Time Machine motion picture. Fairly renowned animator. And he's the guy that did Hard Rock Coco and Joe and Susie Snowflake. And these outtakes that were discovered are all in color, which we've never seen Hard Rock Coco and Joe and Susie Snowflake in color. So I'll find the website. I have it someplace.
Why would the outtakes be in color and the finished product be in black and white?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. One of those great mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
One of those great mysteries.
Yeah, that style of animation, it's a tedious process.
Yeah.
The editing, I mean, someone once told me that for every 30 seconds of animation, it takes nearly 5 to 6 minutes to achieve.
Yeah, well, it's start and stop and start and start. You know, move the characters, stop, start, move the characters, stop.
Yeah,
ever so slight movements to create a somewhat flowing movement. Really, really, really interesting. And I've never felt more like a dork when I found this footage. And it's like, hey, look, I found this. It's behind the scenes. I thought you'd be more excited about it, Chwani. You seem disinterested.
No, I'm trying to multitask, actually, here. I am interested
what's
in it.
More,
that's why
what's
I
more
asked,
important? Are you acting like you're running a newsroom again?
I've got a newsroom to run, so yes. But I'm...
Is there breaking news, or are there just new sweet rolls have come into the newsroom?
Well, they're on the way. They're on the way. But no, the Rankin and Bass, I'm interested in knowing why the outtakes are in color. And we grew up and still watch the finished product, which was black and white.
Yeah, Hard Rock Coco.
Hard Rock Coco and Joe.
And Joe. I don't know. I don't know why some are in color and some are in black and white. And I suspect that we'll never know that because the animator has passed. Most of the people who
they put those together
have all passed. I mean, you know, the black and white versions have been on Chicago television since 1950.
Wow.
1950. So
including Frosty the Snowman.
All of those have
that's a swinging version of Frosty the Snowman.
I love that version of
it's
Frosty.
Great.
Yeah. I think they can go back and recolor.
They can. I just think it's cool that there are some original clips available that are originally in color. Maybe they were doing some experimentation, and that's why they're in.
But they're not enough color TVs.
Maybe. I don't think.
Or they weren't satisfied with they weren't satisfied with the color, and they just decided to drop it then.
Oh, no, do not know. But that was my interesting find. And it was really fun. It took me back, as you said, watching Bozo Gar and Ray took you back to being 8 years old.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I was watching the Rankin and Bass, Santa Claus Was Coming to Town.
We were all remarking here in the newsroom watching this that, you know, how well-dressed everyone was. You know, if I had been fortunate enough to be on Bozo Circus, I know that I would not have been permitted to leave the house without wearing a tie.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well,
the boys were wearing it. The girls are in dresses.
Boys and girls were all dressed up. The moms were hot. They went down there. They were like, hey, Mr. Ned, good morning. I'm in your cast of thousands.
Talk about a grand prize
game. I was going to say, yes, not to mention the grand march, right?
No, everybody did get super dressed up back then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, you know, because I did go on Bozo Circus when I was in fourth grade. We had a class field trip to WGN, and we took the, you know, it was a big deal. We took the bus, you know, one of those brown chartered buses, all the way from the south side, all the way up to 2501 West Bradley Place. We ate a bologna sandwich in the bus. And then we went inside and watched the show live. But I don't think we had suits on or ties or anything like that. I think we were dressed nice. Some of the kids had their Boy Scout uniforms or Cub Scout uniforms.
Well, that was probably you, as into scouts as you were.
I was in, let's see, fourth grade. I would have been in Cub Scouts.
Sure.
Then.
Yeah.
But I don't think I had my Cub Scout uniform on that day. Well, don't know.
There's no no pictures?
Nope.
Okay.
Photography wasn't invented yet.
The glass plate negatives is what was being used.
There's some etchings on the wall. That's about it. Very caveman.
Right along with the cave paintings,
yeah,
right?
Caveman-like etchings were on the wall. That are still on the wall over at WGN. They haven't repainted since
then.
And
you go buy them every day when you're there.
You know what? When I did start working there, when I first started working there, you know, there's that long hallway that you walk down.
Yeah.
When you walk into the building.
You walk into the building, right.
Goes to the big studios and back to the newsroom and the administrative offices and all that. And when I walked in here, all I could see was a little dean standing there and a crowd. You know, waiting to go into
the studio.
So excited.
And,
you know, Bozo came out of his dressing room for a minute and, you know, got the crowd, God bless you.
That wasn't me.
No, somebody's in there honking up a storm. In the... But I remember as a kid standing there so excited to go into the Bozo studio. And now here I am on my first day working there. It's like, I cannot believe I am walking this hallway.
As an employee. In the building. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our high school choir sang for a Christmas Eve program, pre-recorded, back in 1973, we went up. And when we got done with what we were doing and singing and the performances, the first thing we wanted to know was,
Where's Bozo?
And they took us into the studio. And, of course, we're saying, gee, this is a small room because it looks so big on television, as does everything else.
Right.
No, we needed to know where Bozo was. And Garfield Goose, too.
What song did you sing?
Oh, we probably did the Hallelujah Chorus, something like that. And then there was a smaller group that I was not in that sang a couple of things, probably White Christmas or something like that.
Solo performance?
Yeah. They invited various high schools at the time, and then they showed these on Christmas Eve, about 10 o'clock at night. So this was in the early 1970s, but our high school was among those that had been chosen. I don't know how that process went about, but our director sent something into the station,
got
and they
chosen.
Said, yes, we'll use you.
That's
sure.
Such a Chicago thing, right?
Yeah.
To have a Bozo story. If you were fortunate enough to get to see Bozo, it was a big deal. But to have some connection with your hometown station like that.
Right. Right.
That was a big, big deal. Andy, did you ever go see Bozo?
He was in the show.
Yeah, I was there. I think I might have been 5 or 6 at the time. We were sitting toward the front.
Wow.
And, you know, being as short as I was then, still today, too, the arrow just over my head for the grand prize game.
You mentioned that. I thought you were kidding about
that. No. I was. We were there. It was pretty cool. And, you know, I'll echo those sentiments. I mean, walking into that building to go work in the TV sports department there for a couple of days. And it was, every time I walked out of there, I took a picture of that pillar that's got the painting of Bozo on it right out in front of the studio.
Yeah, that was a part, that used to be part of the Bozo set that we just put out into the hallway because so many people want to take a picture of something Bozo when they're there. And the studio is just the studio now, Studio One. You know, I shouldn't say there are no remnants of Bozo. There's one piece of canvas, which is way up on the ceiling, that they never took it down, even though they've remodeled that studio. when they used to have acrobats on the show and they would shoot up, they had this one piece of canvas that was painted to look like the top of a circus tent.
Uh-huh.
So when they shot up that way, it looked like it was a circus tent. And that's still there. None of the tapes of the original shows are there. But
that's just like in baseball, where they retire a player's number.
They hang it up.
They hang it up.
Yeah.
That's great.
Fun memories. I guess that's what the holiday weekend's about.
Is there a bottle of wild hyacinth displayed anywhere in the studio? Or some cheese?
For when Andy Starr used to introduce the Three Stooges.
Used to throw the Stooges, right.
Bob Bell used to play Andy Starr. And
hope you had a nice day at school, boys and girls.
He used to scare me.
Let's watch the Stooges.
Andy Starr used to scare me.
He scared you?
Yeah. He was the kind of guy that everybody warned you, don't go near.
Don't go near him. He was the kindly old man.
He was not kindly.
Yes, he was.
He was mean.
He was not mean.
Hey, get off my lawn.
Hey, watch these cartoons or I'll kill you.
This projector's broken again. Oh, no.
Anywho. You have a far-flung forecast for us?
Yes, I do, and it is something that is serious and rather profound, talking about a very important date in history.
Can we do it now? Are you ready to
do
it?
Yes, we can do it now.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we speak then.
I was...
What?
I was thinking there might have been a commercial break, but...
Well, there was going to be. You wanted to talk about wild hyacinth and cheese.
So.
Ladies and gentlemen, time once again for the always popular, semi-presentable, far-flung forecast. Your charming and delightful host, Dave Schwann.
Well, good morning and thank you, Dean. Good morning, everyone. Today, our far-flung forecast takes us down south to Montgomery, Alabama, which is the capital of the state of Alabama and the county seat of Montgomery County. Named for Richard Montgomery.
Are you being paid by the number of times you say Montgomery?
Yes. Population of 205,000.
In Montgomery.
And is the 118th most populous city in the United States. However, we do bring up Montgomery, Alabama, because on a very, very serious note, I'm not kidding, 65 years ago this coming Tuesday, an African-American lady named Rosa Parks was on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, and refused to get up to give up her seat for a white person on the bus. And she was ordered to, she refused, and was arrested, thus beginning the Montgomery bus boycott, which went on for over a year in Montgomery, Alabama. And the boycott was led by a young man named Martin Luther King Jr. But Rosa Parks was the person who 65 years ago, this coming Tuesday in Montgomery, Alabama, really is recognized as one of the people that began the civil rights movement in the United States. By the way, that bus was bus number 2857, and it is now on display at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan.
Really?
Yes. Interesting story of what happened there. The bus was taken out of service in Montgomery in the late 60s or the early 1970s, and a local resident bought it, put it in his yard or in a field that he owned, and used it as a tool shed.
Wow.
And when he passed away, the bus became the property of his family members, his children. And after a long process of authenticating the bus and the fact that it was indeed 2857, the bus which Rosa Parks was on, it was restored and donated to the Henry Ford Museum. You can go in the bus. You can sit in the bus. And I saw a video online of the director of the museum said that people are just in awe sometimes and even move to tears walking through the bus, thinking about what that signifies.
Well, that was such a pivotal moment in U.S. history.
Yes, yes.
So you can definitely understand that.
Cloudy skies and 56 in Montgomery today.
All right. 9:42, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, 7:20, WGN. Time for our weekly visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. And how was Dr. Most's Thanksgiving this year?
Dean, it was a lot quieter than previous years, that's for sure.
Yeah, not as bad as I didn't think as bad as I thought it was going to be. You know, I thought it would just be, you know, like super lonely, super depressing. You know, you make the best of it, right?
Yeah, we did. I mean, we had a great Zoom call. It was fun. I have a niece who's studying in Belgium, so it was kind of fun to have her on. We have cousins in Texas, so it was all the people that would have been packed into this house. You know, we had a Zoom call and had some laughs, and it's nice to see their faces and hear their voices.
Yeah, I did a little drive-by at my brother's, and it was a very pleasant, very, very pleasant day, got to say. Spent a lot of time on the phone talking to people. And, you know, that's the way all the experts said it should go. Although, taking a look at some of the footage, though, of airports, a lot of people did traveling. A lot of people, you know, did modified versions of the regular Thanksgivings, but still kind of big gatherings for Thanksgiving. What might we see happening now, Kev, as a result of all that?
Yeah, that's obviously our big concern. When you see these videos of the airports and hear that, you know, today's going to be one of the busiest travel days of the year, in normal years, we're okay with that. We're concerned about the spread of influenza, you know, popping up here and there. But obviously, this year is really going to be very concerning to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. There's a lag, so we'll see, you know, often when people bring the disease back and infect other people, they're okay for a while. They have moderate symptoms. And then the ones that are going to get sick, it's going to be day 7, 10, 14 from you know, right about now.
Okay. What should people get tested now? I mean, if somebody did get exposed to something over the Thanksgiving period, would they be positive now, or does it take a little incubation time?
It takes a little incubation time, but right now, you know, if they were exposed on Wednesday or Thursday, you know, and here it is Sunday, you know, they would be turning positive by this time. So, you know, the contact tracing portion of this may be a little bit easier. Someone in your family gets it, you know who was at that gathering. But really, once you hear someone in your family that you might have spent Thanksgiving with got it, be very, very careful for yourself and essentially go into a quarantine.
Okay. Should people be going into safety modes as we were at the very beginning of the quarantine, or do we know new things now all these months later that we can, you know, do some things, drop other things?
Well, I mean, you certainly can, you know, do some things, drop other things, but the concern right now, obviously, is we're coming into a colder time, more people are inside, so less opportunities to be outdoors and do this. And then the bigger thing is, even like right now, you'll probably look and we'll see a little dip in positive test results, mainly because it's the holiday and we didn't have a lot of testing on Thursday or Friday. So you'll see that our numbers may come down a little bit. Don't get that false sense of security. And I always tell people, look at the hospitalization rates, you know, that are peaking in 26 states, including Illinois. So that's the biggest concern, is not the number of positives out in the community, but what's the stress being put on the hospitals right now?
The numbers that are coming back, 7,873 new confirmed and probable COVID-19 cases, 108 additional deaths reported just yesterday alone. So, I mean, this isn't fooling around time. This is very literally deadly serious time.
It is, you know, and as we enter the Christmas holiday shopping season and Christmas party season, you know, this is the time, everybody, to really be careful. You know, assuredly, we talk about Thanksgiving, and it's weird. Thanksgiving, Dean, you know, you control your pod. You kind of know everybody in that group and how cautious they may be. When you have a Christmas party or a holiday party, it's a lot of people that you don't even know what they've been doing, and really probably have more concerns about holiday parties coming up here over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, very, very, very true. I can't imagine that office parties are going to take place. I mean, the kinds of big parties that would normally take place, that, I mean, nobody wants that kind of liability, I would think, right? That they threw a big office party and a lot of people got sick.
Absolutely. I mean, the good thing about that is, you know, a lot of the restaurants can't even handle it. So certainly we probably aren't going to see these big parties. But unfortunately, we will see these home gatherings, parties where alcohol and music equals an easy spread of COVID. So, you know, we're kind of more concerned about what's going to be going on in the homes for these holiday parties than we are these large gatherings.
312-981-7200 is our phone number for your questions for Dr. Kevin Most. 312-981-7200 to call in or text. Before we get to the questions, what's the vaccine update?
Hey, you know, the vaccine update, it's kind of a little bit crazy right now. So we know that Pfizer has put in for the EUA, and the committee, the advisory committee, will meet next Monday, not tomorrow, but in a week. And certainly looks like that one we could probably have out early. The Moderna, we expect them to file for an EUA this week. The crazy one is the AstraZeneca. I'm trying to think if we talked about it last Sunday, but AstraZeneca's results came out, and they confused us. And I say they confused us because there was a little glitch in the way that they did their study. They gave a large portion of people a full dose, followed 21 days later by a full dose. They gave another large population a half a dose by mistake, followed by a full dose. Hmm. The group that did better, the half dose followed by the full dose, had a 90% effective rate. Hmm. The group that got the full dose followed by the full dose, 62% effective rate. We don't know why.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Very, very.
Yeah, so that's a little concerning. It'll be interesting to see how the scientists and how the advisory committee takes that and says, we don't know how it worked, but it worked. Or are they going to say, we need to study AstraZeneca more before we release it?
Yeah, it seems like that is something that you would want to study, right? Before yes. Just pressing on?
Correct.
I would hope
Something's weird there. Yep.
What kind of time frame are we looking at right now for availability to the public or to first responders, to anybody, really?
Yeah, the CDC is actually having a meeting on Tuesday to decide who will get this first, which is unusual because usually they will meet after the vaccine has been fully vetted and approved. So it's good that they're doing this because then when it is approved, it can be distributed. I signed the paperwork last week for Central DuPage to receive doses. Now, they don't tell us how many, they don't tell us when, but we at least have our paperwork in and ready to go. So it's good that that end of it is fine. Now, when we're going to have it for the general public, I still would think it's going to be April, May, June. I think you're going to see healthcare workers, first responders, nursing homes all get it first, and then followed very closely right after that by essential workers, and then the general public probably sometime in the late spring, early summer.
608 area code says once a person has been vaccinated for COVID-19, can they still be a carrier?
Well, it's a great question, and we aren't sure. So we think that once you really get vaccinated, your body's immune response will neutralize the virus, and so that you would not be a carrier. Typical with like influenza, we don't see people that got the influenza virus but had the right vaccine then be carriers. So we're certainly hoping that it's not. Too early to tell right now. But it certainly seems like the neutralizing antibodies that are being formed by these vaccines at a 90% effective rate will eliminate the opportunity for this to be a carrier-like illness.
Carolina is on the line, 312-981-7200. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi. Did you say Caroline?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Dr. Most, I just have not heard an explanation because it seemed about a month ago that they started reporting confirmed cases and probable cases every day, and I just haven't heard the probables, and which makes me wonder, well, they never go back and like give a revised that those weren't actually cases. So it just seems that, you know, in November our cases spiked in Illinois, but they also started reporting positive or probables. Is there a reason for that? And as I said, I haven't heard it.
Yes, Caroline. So we call probables or PUIs, so individuals who, when they first come in the hospital, they're first tested, have symptoms, and may have tested negative. We test them again 2 to 5 days later, while we still keep them in quarantine, essentially in the hospital, many of them convert. In other words, they didn't have enough virus at the initial time to be positive, but they certainly showed all the signs of it. And then also it comes down to testing. So some places are running out of testing equipment, and they're telling people, you have the symptoms, you had an exposure, you are a probable case, but we just haven't been able to test everyone that we need to. So we're putting that out more of an awareness so that the people who are probables are going to go into a quarantine and really try to stop that spread, which is good, whether it's influenza or COVID, but certainly the right thing to do.
Appreciate the call, Caroline. Thank you. This is Buddy. You're on WGN.
Good morning. Happy holidays, everybody. I had two brief questions. One, Dr. Most, have you had the virus? And my second question is, and I'll hang up and listen to the response, what percentage of Americans do you think are willing to take this virus shot? Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Yep. So, Buddy, I have not had the virus. I've been very fortunate. I've been tested twice now. Once before becoming the PGA Tour doctor for a week, and then once prior to my colonoscopy. And I think it shows that the resiliency, now you have to remember this, I'm in the midst of this every single day. So right. We are showing the importance of masking and hand washing in the hospital setting. So I have not. As far as what percentage, it's interesting, the Gallup poll that first came out, when there was a big rush to get the vaccine done before the election, boy, the Gallup polls showed about 40% of people would be willing, 30 to 40% of people would be willing to get the vaccine when it was approved. When the news came out now, they've redone that poll, and it's closer to 60 to 70%. So very encouraging, because if we have 60%, 70% get the vaccine, and we have, let's say, somewhere between 10 and 15% of people have already had the illness, we could get to a protective state here fairly soon.
Boy, I think if anything speaks to the importance of masking, washing your hands, social distancing, it's the fact that you and other people who are around people with COVID all the time, stay protected and stay safe. If anything can illustrate that, that sure does.
Absolutely. If you look at the hospitalization, if you look at the hospital employee positivity rate, it is extremely low. One is we're educated, and we really, and I don't take that the wrong way. We're living this every day, so we are very educated as to what we need to do. And during our workforce time, we are totally protected, whereas other people might be working in another environment where they're not as protected. So for us, wearing a mask is second nature now, and we wear it, pretty much 8 hours a day.
Yeah, I also just want to say, I think a lot of people had off for Thanksgiving, maybe off if they were lucky Thursday and Friday, a long weekend. Hospital workers, healthcare workers did not, and they were at their appointed positions throughout the holiday, taking care of people whose families can't even go to visit them, because they're in quarantine. So, once again, I got to tip my hat and say a big thank you to the healthcare workers, the frontline workers, the ones that are taking care of others, especially during this holiday period. If we have anything to be thankful for as a general population, it's people like that who are caring for others. So thank you, Dr. Most. Thank you to everyone working out there.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And a special thanks to the respiratory therapists, to the nurses, to the environmental service people. It's very unusual for a hospital. For us on Wednesday, to go into a holiday with a full hospital is very rare. But yet we were. Today, I just got our numbers as we're speaking right now. We're actually down a little bit. We're down to 82 COVID patients. This time last week, we're about at 105. Mm. So is that promising? I'm not sure, but we'll see.
Well, again, thank you for all that you and all of your counterparts at hospitals and healthcare facilities all over do for us. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Kev. Thank you.
Take care, Dean. We'll talk soon.
everybody over at Channel 9 this week singing this song. They could not get this song out of their head. We ran my one-on-one interview with Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys. And we'll share that one-on-one interview coming up in the next half hour. Which one was your favorite Backstreet Boy, Schwani?
I like Ringo.
Marlon, Tito, Jermaine.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Super popular group. Nick Carter coming up in the next half hour of the program. I wanted to talk about an entertainment story that broke overnight, and that is the death of David Prowse. David Prowse was the man who played Darth Vader in the three original Star Wars movies, which are now called Episodes 4, 5, and 6. But David Prowse was 6 foot six. He goes into an audition back in 1977 with director George Lucas at the time. And he's offered the roles of either Chewbacca or Darth Vader. And he takes Darth Vader, saying he wants to be the villain. Everyone remembers the villain. But what an imposing character that he was, that's for sure. And an amazing actor. Ah, and his own theme song. The Imperial March Darth Vader theme song. So while he was the actor that played Darth Vader, he did not do the voice of Darth Vader. That, of course, was James Earl Jones. Mark Hamill on Twitter this morning, writing about his longtime friend, David Prowse, saying, sorry to hear that David Prowse has passed. He was a kind man, much more than Darth Vader. He was an actor, husband, father, member of the Order of the British Empire, a three-time British weightlifting champion, and safety icon of the Green Cross Code Man. That's how he got knighted, by participating in this Green Cross Code, which is a big safety campaign, I guess, in the UK. Mark Hamill writing, he loved his fans as much as they loved him. There was no cause of death released, but in 2009, we do know that David Prowse was treated for prostate cancer. He was 85 years old. You know what he did after the Star Wars movies? He was a personal trainer. He was a personal trainer. Let me see if I can find this here. I'm sure I'm not going to be able to. But he became a personal trainer for celebrities. Personal trainer to Daniel Day-Lewis. Personal trainer to Vanessa Redgrave. And he trained Christopher Reeve, you know, when he took on the role of Superman. So, you know, health and fitness and bodybuilding and all that sort of thing was his passion. So, you know, remembering David Prowse this morning, very, very sad to hear the news. He was in Casino Royale. He was in Clockwork Orange. He was in a lot of other motion pictures.
What role
well.
In Casino Royale?
Casino Royale, Frankenstein's monster.
Ah, well, the height would...
For the height.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess when you're 6'6", that kind of limits the roles that you can play, right?
Well, it worked well for that, and certainly worked well for Darth Vader.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. Yeah, so, you know, that's a sad story this morning. I do you know what Shazam is?
Shazam?
Yeah.
Yes.
Schwani?
That's Gomer's favorite saying. No, I know it is.
What is it?
Shazam?
Yeah.
That's that newfangled thing you can put on your phone where you can find out what a song is.
You mean an app?
The app.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's what it is.
Newfangled store.
No, those kids like to call it
an application.
The app.
I don't know. It is an application.
It's an, yes, it's an application.
It is an application.
That you have on your phone. And when you go to it, it's called Shazam. You go to it and you hold your phone up to, let's say a song is playing, and you go, oh, I like that
song. Believe it or not, I have done that.
Yeah. And it tells you the name of the song.
There, Andy's got it.
And who sings the song. Yeah, Andy's Shazamming this show right now.
Correct.
And it said, what the hell are you listening to that crap for?
Sorry.
Wait a minute, Shazam.
Do not understand.
Hang on a second.
Did your phone explode?
Not yet.
Not yet.
So in a few minutes, can't do it right now because we have a guest in a second. But in a few minutes, I'm going to play for you the most Shazam song of all time. What do you think it might be?
Ooh.
The most Shazam song of all time. We'll get to that. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Happy holidays to all. We're officially in the season now. Holiday songs beginning to play where you go. Holiday displays up everywhere. And some of Chicago's traditional holiday events beginning to take place slightly differently this year than in years past. And that includes the Goodman Theater's A Christmas Carol, which has been a staple in Chicago for decades. This year, a little different. Jessica Thebus is the director of A Christmas Carol, the audio play that will have its opening night this coming week. Jessica, hi. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks so much. Good morning. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you here with us. So every year, you know, we begin to talk about the latest production of A Christmas Carol that will take place on the Goodman stage and how it will be different, you know, this year, and what new innovative thing is going to be taking place. I'll bet none of you over at the Goodman Theater thought that it would be this innovative this year, right?
No, it was a bit of a surprise.
So explain how this is going to work now.
Yeah, well, what we determined was, you know, first of all, there was no way that there could be a year without A Christmas Carol. It was too sad. So we determined that the best way to do it would be to be an audio play in the spirit of old-time radio. And actually, it's a wonderful story for that because it's filled with sound, it's filled with the imagination, there's wonderful chances for sound effects and surprise and engaging the audience in a new way. So although the pandemic did create the situation where we had to do it that way so that we could do it safely, it was actually a wonderful artistic process, and we're very excited about it.
Yeah, I would think that this would be a really fun creative challenge. I have found that once the pandemic started and, you know, plays were shut down, musicals were shut down, music venues were shut down, creative people found a way to be creative during all of this. And this certainly seems like it's no exception. But this is not a recording of a performance that took place on the stage. This is something that was done custom specifically for people to listen to, a la old time radio.
Oh, yes, definitely. And in fact, the recording of it was fascinating. And you can go to the Goodman website and you can see a little bit of it filmed. We built plastic booths in the rehearsal room so that everyone was completely encased in their own space so that they could record safely. Everyone was masked, socially distanced. So the actors were in the room and then recording it like old-time radio, as though it were in a radio studio. And it was readapted. We're still using the same wonderful Tom Creamer adaptation, but then in a way adapted again for radio from that, so that there really are a lot of opportunities for great new text, new storytelling, new moments, effects. It's actually quite different, which makes it a great, unique experience.
I would have to think that just the production of this to create in people's minds, in the theater of their minds, some of the visual things that they might see had they come to the actual theater to see a production had to be some of the most challenging parts of putting this together.
Yes, you're exactly right. That was really the whole thing. And as myself and the wonderful team, including Richard Woodbury, who's the great sound designer, who was really my full partner in creating this, That's exactly what we were doing, because we kept thinking, okay, if you can't see it, what do you need to hear? Again, if you can't see that, then what do you need to hear? And it is the invitation to the imagination that you speak about. And the question is how much, you know, sometimes it's just a little breath of wind and the creaking of a door, and the imagination is absolutely there. But other times, we really don't know what we're seeing. You know, how much does the storyteller need to invite the imagination in through words, through kind of we started talking about the colors of sound, the colors of the sound effect, you know, Dickensian London, how are we painting that sure. portrait with sound? And it was really quite fun, actually.
I was, you know, trying to imagine in my own mind what it might sound like where the ghost of Jacob Marley visits visits Scrooge for the first time, where the ghosts take Scrooge back into his past and into his future, and what that might sound like. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing what it is that you've put together. And you've got some veteran cast members joining you in this, right?
Absolutely. We have a combination of veterans and new voices, so that's always exciting. Larry Yando, the beloved Scrooge, who's done it for many years, is back, is wonderful. And again, it's just a new way of receiving his performance, you know, just really through the vocal skill and, you know, following him that way. It's kind of different and wonderful. And then we also have a lot of new people and some new ways of thinking of it, you know, some new ways of interpreting it. Yeah. So it will be fun.
So how can people hear it?
It starts streaming, I believe, on the 1st, December 1st, and it is free on the Goodman website. It is the Goodman's gift to Chicago. And one thing that is really fun is I think there will be two fun ways to listen to it. You know, gathering together as people did in the golden age of radio, where you're really with your family in your home, as we all are now, and you're going to share the experience together. I think that will be really great. But technology also gives us, if you want to listen to it alone or with headphones, it will be a special experience that way too, because of the intricate way that the sound is built. And that will also be quite fun.
Christmas Carol, an audio play that will begin streaming on Tuesday, December the 1st. Really nice to talk to you, Jessica, and happy holidays to you.
And you as well. I don't care who you are.
It is Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. The Backstreet Boys simply have been one of the most popular musical groups of all time. Hitting it big back in the late 80s, early 90s with hit after hit after hit, and have maintained their popularity through the years, still selling out shows in Las Vegas and around the world, or they were until the pandemic started. They were actually on a world tour when the pandemic started and had to shut it down. That included a show that was supposed to take place out in Tinley Park last August, which has been rescheduled for July of next year if concerts are back up and running by then. But, you know, so many people are huge fans of the boys, as are we. It's some great songs that they put out there through the years. And we've actually had the Backstreet Boys performing live on the WGN TV Morning News. We've had individual appearances on the TV Morning News over the years, probably from all of them. Nick Carter, especially, you know, friendly and down to earth. And we were able to catch up with Nick this week to talk about a couple of things. He's involved with a hospital that I guess I would compare it to St. Jude's Research Center in Memphis. This one that he is involved in is a cancer program in Las Vegas where he lives. And they help people who have cancer come into their lives, the patients, the families, support groups. Nobody is turned away is, you know, basically how that works. Very much, I guess, like Ronald McDonald House might be also here in the Chicago area. We talked about that. We talked about what's the future of the Backstreet Boys touring again, and also caught up with Nick talking about what he has been doing during his quarantine time.
It's good to see you, man. How are you doing?
Doing good. You know, just spending a lot of time with my family. My daughter, who just turned a year old a month ago, and my son, he's about 4.5 years old. So I like to say there's a bit of a silver lining right now with everything. You know, yes, we love being artists and touring and performing and all those things, but you go, and you sometimes miss the little things in life that are so rewarding, and so I'm getting that moment. So, you know, obviously, like everyone, we're all doing the correct things, socially distancing and wearing the masks wherever we go, and just trying to make sure everyone else is safe out there. And I think what's most important is before things get back to normal is that, you know, that everyone is safe.
I got to say, you know, I saw a video that you had posted on your social media of your little son with some ants that were crawling all over the place. And one had crawled up on his arm. And it was just, it was the most beautiful, lovely, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's, yeah, I mean, how many times have we just walked right past those ants and, you know, because we're so focused on whatever else it is.
Well, I mean, you know, the glass half full part of this whole thing is that you were, instead of being on the road, you were there with your phone and recorded the ants in this adorable moment that you might not otherwise have been able to see, which was great. Are you recording, writing? Are you doing anything while you're in quarantine?
Well, so living in Las Vegas, you know, we're pretty much at home majority of the time. You know, we do get out for, you know, grocery shopping and all the different things like that. And there's a studio down the street, a really nice one, the one I'm in right now. And I decided that, you know, maybe I could get in, record some music, write some music. Get a little bit artistic, you know, and expressive, and just taking an opportunity to maybe work on some stuff that I could put out from a solo side of things, maybe around the holidays. You know, like we talked about before, no one's touring, no one's able to do anything, but you can. We find ourselves back home, watching lots of movies and TV shows and YouTubes and the old fashioned, just turn on your stereo or your iPhone and listening to music. And so we can do that. And so I figured if I made some songs that could lift up our fan base a little bit and, you know, give them a little something while we're all in quarantine.
Look forward to some solo material from you though. But we've seen you and the rest of the boys on some charity projects, virtual charity projects. Are you guys, you know, doing anything, recording anything?
Yeah, we are. There's a couple of things that are in the works right now for the Backstreet Boys that you will see in the next month or so, obviously in the realm of music. And they're going to be more of surprises. We were talking about doing a Christmas record. That's not going to happen right now. You know, the thing about being in a group is that we actually like being around each other. It doesn't happen all the time with certain groups, but we enjoy being in the studio together and creating together, bonding. And, that tends to, you know, create some really, good music. But yeah, that's what we're doing right now. We were in the middle of a world tour. We were right smack in the middle of it. We had another 50 shows that were on the books to come back to the States. We were down in South America, in Brazil, and we were getting ready to perform for 50,000 people, one of our biggest shows ever in a long time. And, you know, we had to head back home and couldn't do that one. So, you know, right now we're just enjoying our time back home. And, you know, AJ just did Dance with the Stars, and, you know, Brian's doing stuff with his son right now. And yeah, so we're getting creative. We're staying in touch. We're talking with each other, and we're also, you know, doing individual things.
Yeah. One of those shows from your DNA tour was supposed to be here in the Chicago area last August, which on your website right now is tentatively rescheduled for July 31st of next year at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. So I guess that just stays on the books if things open up again, right?
Right.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think there's a lot of artists out there who are pretty much leaving those spaces, you know, open or not open. They're still booked. And if it happens and, you know, things kind of start to get back to normal, you know, once there's a vaccine, once everyone feels comfortable and safe, I guess it's a bit of a glimmer of hope, you know, that we all want, and that we're hoping for. So yeah, it's, you know, the thing about it is that I think the other part of the story of hope is that we are entertainers, and right now everyone is, you know, starving for connection, starving for entertainment, starving for, you know, being together. You know, and we would love to be on the other end. You know, once everyone comes out of the darkness into the light, to be able to bring some joy into people's lives and to be a part of that story.
Now I can see that we're falling apart from the way that it used to be.
Yeah. Backstreet Boys this morning on WGN. 10:48, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, one-on-one with Nick Carter of The Boys. Talking with him about one of his pet projects that he has been involved with for years now.
One of the pieces of joy that you're bringing into people's lives is with the Cure for Kids Foundation. It's really very moving how you dedicate yourself to helping other people who are going through difficulties outside of COVID-19 as well. Tell us about the Cure for Kids Foundation.
So in Las Vegas, where I live, I was doing the residency with The Boys and, you know, started to kind of be involved in a lot of the different charities and things. It's a people like think of the Strip most of the time when they think of Las Vegas, but they don't realize that there's a really amazing community of people on the outside. It's kind of got a little bit of a small town vibe, you know, but everyone sticks together, you know, and everyone is trying to help each other out here. It's really amazing to see. And so as we were doing some charitable things during that residency, you know, I came to learn about the clinic, Care for the Kids clinic here in Nevada. And then I visited the facility and was able to walk through and see what they were doing, and was absolutely blown away by just the breakthroughs they were, you know, involved with as far as medical goes and pertaining to cancer, particularly with pediatric cancer in kids. And, you know, I have two children, and I'm blessed and grateful to be able to have two healthy children. But not everyone out there is as fortunate, and people need a place to turn to. And that's what Cure for the Kids here in Nevada offers those people, especially, you know, and they have a program where in Nevada itself, you live here, they take care of it for you. It's really an incredible place. And if you want to learn more about Cure for the Kids, so you just go to curefortthekids.org. They have all the information. It's an incredible place.
Yeah. You know, people wondering, what can I do this holiday season? You know, it's going to be different. We're going to be in our houses this year. Is there a better way to say thanks at Thanksgiving than helping children, than helping some other children or other families who are going through things. You know, same with Christmas. Is there more the true spirit of the holiday than being able to help somebody else? This is a fantastic way that you can do it by making a donation, learning more. I can't think of anything that would make you feel better in this unusual year where we're not going to have the usual kind of celebrations.
100%. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely, everyone has to find something that they believe in and connect with. This is something that obviously is that I'm passionate. I've had, family members, pass away from cancer. Everyone's affected by cancer. And so to, especially during this time, like what you were talking about, where, you know, people, are losing their insurance. Families, you know, can't find a way to help their children. And that's what's great about this place. And, we all have to find a way to give back, especially during this time.
You're a good man, my friend. That's a nice thing for you to be doing. Really, really nice. So I'm always curious, to know how people are going to answer a question that I pretty much know that you can't answer one way or the other. There's so much internet gossip about you and the Masked Singer, et cetera. Dazzle me.
I've heard some really interesting stories about that. It's pretty crazy. I barely even watch the show myself. I'm pretty much watching YouTube all the time and I'm spending a lot of time with my kids. But pulling for whoever that person is.
Okay. One of our fondest memories at WGN, I don't know if you guys remember this because you do so many gigs, but we were doing a back to school event in our parking lot at WGN.
I remember.
You guys performed in the rain. There was
a freezing rain too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You guys performed in the rain. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was such a great and you know, it's things like that. I remember, there was a small group of people that came out to watch, you know, and I was just remembering, like, you know, those people were really, they were brave to get out in that cold rain, but it became a very, very special moment that we will never forget. And yeah, I totally remember that. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I think there were thunderstorms and tornado watches. And, things. And we thought there is no way that they're going to sing in this. We didn't want to be out in that rain, but you guys were.
We did it anyways. Yeah.
You did it anyways.
Yeah.
Sure did. We appreciate it.
Chicago, you are.
Say one, two, you're going to sing it.
Backstreet Boys in our WGN parking lot at 2501 West Bradley Place. It was so cold and so wet, and there's lightning in the sky. We're all surrounded by electrical equipment, and these guys went on. They performed. Troopers. All of us were like little babies. Ooh, it's cold outside. I don't want to go outside. Good for them. Thank you, Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys, spent a little bit of time with us. Tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News, we are talking with actress Amanda Seyfried. She's part of a brand new movie, and a movie that I think that we're going to be talking about at Oscar time that's called Mank. That will be tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News. Some of the video picks that we've got for you this week include Ron Howard's movie, Hillbilly Elegy. It premiered on Netflix just the other day, and a lot of people are watching it. I just thought it was okay. I thought it was average. I gave it a Dean's List C. A lot of people on Twitter and on social media and emailing me telling me they liked it better than I did, which was, you know, fine. Something for everybody's taste out there. Also, the new Saved by the Bell reboot is out this week. That's on the Peacock Network, but not without some controversy. I guess I honestly haven't watched any of the new shows, any of their new episodes.
But apparently on some of them, they make fun of Selena Gomez, singer and actress Selena Gomez, and make fun of her kidney transplant surgery on the show, which just seems odd to me. It seems like an odd thing that you would use as the basis for comedy, but they do. And Selena Gomez fans are very extremely protective of their Selena Gomez, and they have issued their outrage to NBC, which owns the Peacock streaming platform. NBC and Peacock and their parent company, Universal, has issued an apology and made a donation to Selena Gomez's foundation and said that they, you know, that they didn't intend to, for this to be disparaging to her in in any way. So they are both apologizing and I'm sure happy for all the free publicity that they're getting out of this all at the same time. Happy end of the holiday weekend. Guess it's going to be another busy day out at O'Hare today. Everybody who wasn't supposed to be traveling for the holiday who did, returning. I've been making turkey leftovers. You guys been doing that from your holiday dinners, doing any turkey leftovers at all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Girlfriend is
that will be the case today.
Made stock out of the carcass. We're gonna have some turkey noodle soup when I get home today.
You know, my mom used to make that every year. That was a holiday tradition. I didn't have a carcass, so I couldn't make it myself this year. Can I borrow your carcass?
Sure.
It's nice when one man can loan another his carcass.
Absolutely
appreciate that. I made turkey tetrazzini last night. Like turkey and noodles and vegetables, kind of an Alfredo sauce with it. I made split pea soup. I had leftover ham also because we also had ham. I did have the ham bones, and I made some nice split pea soup. But in a minute, the recipe for my favorite sandwich of all sandwiches, my everything on the turkey, on the Thanksgiving table sandwich. I'll tell you about that coming up on our little mini version of the food show, the bite-sized version of the food show, if you will, coming up in just a minute on WGN. But earlier we were talking about the application that a lot of us use. When we hear a song and we don't know what the name of the song is nor the artist, and we want to know what the song is, we go to the application that's called
Shazam.
And we
oh, wonderful. I'm glad you worked that in there.
And that was just for you, Sean.
I have a new app that's coming out. It's Galway.
And so they went to Shazam to find out what was the most Shazammed song of all time. What song are people going to learn about more than any other song? And that song is, are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Are you ready for it? This is the most, wait a minute, let me turn one thing off here before we, so we don't have seven or eight things going at the same time. This is the most Shazammed song of all time. American Bandstand, Rate a Record. What do we think? I like this song.
I just Shazammed it to find out what it was.
Yeah. Did you really?
I did.
Did it pop up correctly? Yeah. What does it say?
Dance Monkey, Tones and I.
That's right.
Yeah.
The song is called Dance Monkey, and it's a singer by the name of Tones and I. 36.6 million people have Shazammed this song.
It's now 36 million and one.
Now it's right. It's a song that has topped the charts in more than 30 countries. Debuted on the Billboard Hot 100 chart here in America at number 96 and ascended to the number 5 spot. Became the first Hot 100 song solely written by a woman to enter the ranking in more than 8 years. Juana, you haven't given us... Tones and I is the name of the singer on this.
All right, this is all new to me.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I do.
You're very open-minded musically.
I am open-minded. I try to be.
I know you are.
I try to be.
Here, I'm reading from Billboard. It's a song about a moment when I felt frustrated about how people had no patience anymore. They were constantly looking at their phones, and then they caught a busca. That's what they say in her home of Australia. They caught a busca, which means street musician. I had to look that up. I had no idea what a busker was. So there you go. Now, let me bring in producer Ryan, who is, as people may know, during the week is a music teacher. An actual music teacher. And you say that the kids love this song.
Yeah, they love it. I heard this song come out. When did this come out? Like last year, maybe?
Yeah, and, May of 2019, yes.
Yeah, and they're still in love with it. So we have these boom whackers, which are basically just expensive PVC pipes in different lengths, and taught them how to play this song on boom whackers. That little piano, they're playing that piano part, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah,
they love it. But they get to beat around a tube while they get to play to their favorite song. What's better than
that? Who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love that? So this is, the kids, Shwani, the kids love this song.
I can understand why. I would, if I was a young person, I would, or younger, I should say. Let's put it that way, younger. I would probably like that.
Yeah.
Can I buy the 45?
The vinyl 45?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'll be happy
to
sell you.
Ride my bike down to the store and
sell you
buy
one.
This
yeah.
for 75 cents.
This will be your after show homework assignment, Shwani. Ryan was telling me that he asked me if I had seen the video of this song.
Oh, did you check out the video of it?
Well, he said that there's somebody in the video that reminds him of you.
Oh, come on.
So you're.
I don't know if those are my words, but
that's I don't basically, know if I want to see this or not.
That's basically what you were saying. Basically, all I got to say is look up the video. Look it up on Google and see if anyone thinks that you're reminded of Shwani.
All right,
way.
I'll look this up.
Yeah, if you Shazam it, the video comes up.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Look at Andy with the Shazam.
See?
All right, that's all we have. That's literally, that's clearly.
Our version of Name That Tune.
That's right. That's our Name That Tune portion of the program for today. In just a second, turkey leftovers. What are you doing with your leftovers at home? Who's got a good recipe that you can suggest? 312-981-7200, and we come back, WGN. NFL football coming up in a few minutes. Gives us time for a little mini version of the Food Time Show. A bite-sized version, if you will. Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program. Heard every Sunday at this time. Normally the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we spend some time talking about Thanksgiving leftovers. What to do with your turkey, as I had mentioned a couple of minutes ago. I made a nice turkey tetrazzini last night. Took some of my turkey leftovers. You know the pieces that aren't really quite slices? They're just kind of, it's almost like turkey cobbler. I took all those pieces, mixed that in with some pasta that I had made, and some vegetables. What did I put in? Mushrooms, some red peppers, some sweet peas, some broccoli, pretty much whatever I had in the fridge, some veggies. And then you can make your own kind of bechamel sauce for it. But I had a couple of jars of Alfredo sauce in the pantry, and I thought, I'm going to use those up. So I took the Alfredo sauce, mixed it in with all of this, put it in a baking pan into the oven. But before I put it in the baking pan, I mixed up some Parmesan cheese and breadcrumbs and sprinkled it on top. Went into a 375-degree oven for about a half an hour. top gets nice and brown and crispy. Inside is, you know, nice and creamy and warm and moist and delicious. And it was fantastic. I also made a really nice split pea soup also last night with celeries and carrots. Celery, carrots, onions. I put some potatoes in, some nice red potatoes in there, a couple of bay leaves, and the leftover ham that I had. I had a ham bone that I cooked with, you know, started off with the ham bone in there to get some of that good flavor in the soup. And then the leftover ham that I had, I cut that up and put it in the soup. The ham off the bone came off. And so I've got two nice leftover dishes. Plus, I still have some stuffing left over. I still have sliced turkey left over, nice slices. I've got some sweet potatoes left over. And I'm going to make the greatest sandwich that's in the history of sandwiches when I go home today. I'm going to take some sliced sourdough bread, toast it up a little bit. A spread of cranberry sauce goes on the bread. And then a slice of sweet potato, and then some stuffing, and then some turkey, and then on the other slice of the bread, more cranberry sauce. I'm telling you, greatest sandwich in the world. Now, some people like to take the stuffing, put it in a pan, and fry it so it's crispy. I think that's unnecessary. I think, you know, any kind of preparation, unnecessary. Some people take the cranberry sauce and mix it in with some mayonnaise. I think unnecessary. You take a bite of my sandwich the way that I said, you have an entire Thanksgiving dinner as a sandwich. And it is absolutely delicious. How about you? What are some of your turkey leftovers? Here's Ellen on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Dean?
Very well. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. So tell me about your leftovers recipe. What do you make?
Well, I'm on my way to the grocery store. I make a really delicious cream of chicken soup with wild rice. And I have so much turkey left. I'm going to do it with turkey this time. And everybody loves it. It's a stovetop recipe. And the really kind of interesting addition is a really nice healthy squeeze of lemon juice right after it all comes together.
Right.
And it just really brightens all the flavors.
Exactly.
It's so delicious.
Yeah, it's not overly lemony. There's just a nice brightness to the flavor. You know what?
Exactly.
I put a little squeeze of lemon in my turkey tetrazzini last night. I just thought it would brighten it up a little bit, and it did.
Yep, I'm going to make some turkey tetrazzini, and if I have anything more left over, any turkey left over, I'll make a turkey pot pie.
Oh, see, now that's a good one, too. Do you use puff pastry with that?
Exactly. So the store-bought puff pastry is the secret, and it just makes it so easy. The recipe is actually the Oprah Winfrey recipe for pot pie, and it's called the Casserole Queen Pot Pie, and my kids eat it for breakfast. It's so delicious.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good. I appreciate your recipes, Ellen. Thank you very much for calling in. Hi, Dave. You're on WGN.
Greetings, Dean. Mine is just taking the leftover stuffing, take a Roma tomatoes, cut them in half, scoop them out, and stuff the put the stuffing in the tomatoes, and then I bring it around a plate, nuke it until the tomatoes soft and the flavors mingle, and got a nice little ganache.
That's nice. Yeah, I could see that. Or you maybe toss it into a toaster oven if you want to get a little crunch on top of that stuffing. That's a good idea. I've heard people take the stuffing into a mushroom cap, and do it that way. They put it into a mushroom and then pretty much do the same thing you do, nuke it or put it in a toaster oven, and it's a nice little appetizer kind of thing, right?
Exactly. And with the turkey and three bean the green bean casserole, I take that and put it in a just scoop it, put it in a tortilla, and then
nice.
A little cheese, roll it up, and like my sister takes those for work lunch. Then.
Yeah, like a roll-up. Yeah, turkey, yeah. Like a turkey roll-up. Those are some really good ideas. We'll post some of these later on. Dave, thank you very much for the call. Unfortunately, we are out of time, so maybe we'll talk about this again next week. Thank you all very much for listening today. As always, we appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Bob Sciroccio, as we do Monday through Friday from 8 until 8:30, talking about entertainment,